The winner of the Democratic presidential campaign could well be decided by Florida and Michigan. Wait, you say. Both those states were stripped of their delegates to the Democratic National Convention after they moved their primaries up too early. And you're right. But if that decision holds, there's almost no way for Senator Hillary Clinton to catch up to rival Senator Barack Obama's lead in delegates. Clinton supporters argue that it's ridiculous to disenfranchise millions of voters, and the results of the Michigan and Florida primaries should count. Well, of course they do, since Senator Clinton won them both by wide margins. Obama supporters say, well, you can't change the rules after the game is over. Well, of course they do, since excluding Florida and Michigan favors Senator Obama. Yesterday, officials in Florida and Michigan indicated for the first time that under certain circumstances, they'd consider a redo, a new primary election, or maybe caucuses in, say, late June. So what's going to happen? What should happen? 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also weigh in on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. We're going to talk with political observers in both states. We begin with Adam Smith, political editor for the St. Petersburg Times, with us today from the studios at the Poynter Institute in St. Petersburg. Nice to have you on the program.
Thanks. Good to be here.
And what's the likelihood that Florida delegates are, there's going to be a redo in Florida?
I think at this point it's more likely there will not be a redo in Florida than there will be a redo in Florida. There are all sorts of logistical issues the Democratic Party is facing, not the least of which is how to find the money for something that could cost as much as $25
million. $25 million to hold another primary?
That would be if you had another statewide election. They would. That's the estimate from the Secretary of State, $25 million.
Caucus would be much less expensive.
Caucus would be considerably less expensive, but Florida, after 2000, the party is very sensitive to disenfranchising voters and having voter participation. So to have a caucus where you would have a small fraction of the Democrats participating, that's basically a dead-on arrival, the party seems to suggest.
So rather than disenfranchise many, disenfranchise everybody by not seating any delegates at the Democratic National Convention.
That's right, and leave it to Florida. We do bizarre elections well. There is another scenario that is maybe the most plausible at this moment, and that is a statewide vote-by-mail election, which is something that the party had looked at doing and had some enthusiasm for when they were trying to get in compliance with the DNC. And there, it might cost $4 or $5 million, but at least the party would be able to argue they're building a voter list, they're doing something that will help them in November.
And would that allow for participation by absentee ballot people who are overseas, for example, in Iraq or Afghanistan?
It would, exactly. And that's one of the issues. They say they want people overseas to be able to participate, so a caucus would not do that.
And let's move now to Michigan. Joining us now is Bill Ballinger, editor and publisher of the newsletter Inside Michigan Politics, with us from the University Relations Studio at Michigan State University in East Lansing. Nice to talk with you again.
Good afternoon, Neil.
And in Michigan, Senator Clinton's name was, the only one of the major candidates on the ballot in Michigan in January. And the election was held too early, according to the DNC. None of those delegates are to be seated, at least as it stands now. What's going on?
Well, it's a little different than the situation in Florida. I almost feel a little bit sorry for the Democrats in Florida, having heard the things about them that I have. But here in Michigan, the Democrats
They're warm, let me put it that way.
Well, a lot warmer than here in Michigan. The Democrats here in Michigan went into this with their eyes open. They joined with Republicans, and a Democratic governor passed a law, created the primary. But they allowed candidates to opt out of the contest if they wanted to, and Barack Obama and John Edwards did that. The party could have opted out of it and said, we want to go the caucus route. They specifically said, no, we're going to participate. And the result was Hillary Clinton got 55% of the vote. 40%, if you can believe this, voted uncommitted. Dennis Kucinich was still on the ballot, and he got 4%, and the rest is, kind of inconsequential. So now the question is, what could they do? There isn't going to be another primary in Michigan. I can guarantee that. That would have to be paid for by the state. It would cost $10 to $12 million. That's what the one in January cost. The only option is possibly some kind of Democratic caucus system. But the governor, Jennifer Granholm, who was a big cheerleader for the January 15th primary, has said she thinks it would be a travesty if nearly 600,000 Democratic voters in January were disenfranchised by the party saying that doesn't count, we're going to do this all over again at a later date.
And of course, the candidates have their opinions about the ideas of a caucus or a primary too. The theory that a caucus might favor Senator Obama, a primary might favor Senator Clinton.
Well, a caucus here in Michigan is kind of a misnomer. Really, what a caucus is a party-run closed primary. The thing that's interesting about all this speculation that has exploded in the last 24, 48 hours, Neil, is that it seems to be coming a lot from Hillary Clinton and her followers, not only here in Michigan, but nationally. And you might ask, why would Hillary Clinton want a redo of a primary that she already won? And I think the answer is, as she gets closer to the hour of reckoning, she realizes she will never be able to claim these delegates if they're not seated. It's like owning a diamond ring, but it's in a bank vault and you can't wear it. What's the use of having it? And so she's saying, I am willing to risk redoing the result in Michigan, whether it takes caucuses or a primary or whatever, in hopes that I can beat Barack Obama again and get the delegates from Michigan.
Here's an email we have from Jeff in East Lansing, Michigan. Of those within my circle of friends who are Democrats or tend to vote left of center, I can tell you we all feel like the fix was in for the Michigan primary. We were told repeatedly by local, state, and national news media that our votes on primary day were meaningless and a waste of time. Now there are many who do want to count the Michigan primary along with its delegates as a win for Senator Clinton. I'd say we'd feel hoodwinked or bamboozled, but those terms are too comical for such a serious matter. And I think he's right. A lot of people said, both in Florida and Michigan, hey, this is not going to matter.
Yeah, there's a lot of sympathy for his point of view. You're absolutely right. Hillary Clinton herself said last fall, leading up to the primary, she said the results in Michigan are meaningless. We all know that. She said that. Now she's saying, well, we've got to count them, or if we can't count the ones that I got, we got to do it again, so maybe I can win that, and then we can count those. But I think whoever just wrote this is absolutely correct. That is the sentiment on the ground in Michigan.
Well, I would not say that's necessarily the sentiment in Florida. The 1.75 million Democrats turned out. It was a record turnout in Florida. So that's what has the party here in an awkward position. To cast aside 1.75 million votes is a difficult thing for a party that talks about not disenfranchising voters.
But do people in Florida believe the election would have turned out the way that it did if people had actually campaigned?
Well, it wasn't as if there was a cone of silence over Florida. You know, people in Florida were actually watching national TV and paying attention to what was going on. Would it have been closer? Sure. Could Barack Obama have won? Sure, possibly. But it was always going to be a Clinton-favored state. But, you know, it was an even playing field. It was a massive turnout. There was an election.
Let's go,
Neil,
to
what, go Neil, ahead. One thing that Florida and Michigan had in common was that even though there were these primaries and they were different, obviously the way Adam has described it is different than Michigan's, still none of the candidates actually campaigned in the state. They stayed away. Right, Adam?
Well, they were actually in Florida. They were nice enough to frequently come in and take money, but not actually talk to any voters.
Yeah, you can fundraise. Yeah, but you don't have rallies. You don't have speeches.
There was a victory rally in Florida, though, by Senator Clinton the night of the primary.
Well, after she won it.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get a caller on the line. This is Scott. Scott with us from Fort Myers in Florida.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I had a question. I'm curious and I'm confused. If we had another primary and reopened the polling places to re-vote, since all these places are basically operated by volunteers, why would it cost $25 million?
Adam Smith?
Well, in Florida, they're operated by the Division of Elections. They're operated by 67 different elections offices. So it's a major governmental function to run a statewide election in a state as big as Florida.
Okay, but I know that where I vote and where friends of mine vote, everyone in there is a volunteer. The people standing there handing you buttons, and everyone in there is a volunteer. So who makes $25 million off that?
Well, that's the cost estimate for thousands and thousands of voting offices to be staffed and opened and going. Now, you have a bizarre situation where in Florida, you would have the Florida Democratic Party actually paying the state of Florida to run an election, So a lot of people laughing at that, that maybe they should find another state, Secretary of State, to pay to run their election.
Thanks very much for the call, Scott.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go now to Jim. Jim's with us from Detroit in Michigan.
Hi. I'm a Democratic trustee for one of the predominantly Republican counties in Michigan, and I've got Democrats who've been Democrats for 30 and 40 years who are saying if the DNC wants to take our representatives away from us, maybe we'll just vote Republican.
Is that so? Are you favoring a redo in Michigan then?
No, I think it needs to stay the way it is because people said if people wanted to get out, they could have. And if the candidates wanted to be on the ballot, they could have. Clinton's name was on the ballot. So was Kucinich.
But if it stays the way it is, no delegates from Michigan will be seated at the convention.
Well, if it stays the way it is, no delegates from Michigan will be seated as far as the DNC holding to their position. But if they don't hold to their position, if they agree to seat the delegates, then no redos have to be done. There has to be no money spent. And the Democrats who made it out, no matter what the weather was, aren't going to be upset with the Democratic Party.
Bill Ballinger, what do you think?
Well, no, I think he's right. Right now, the real question is, if the DNC should decide to seat the delegates, the question is, how are the delegates divided up? Because Hillary Clinton would get 55% of them. But who would get the other 45%? Would Barack Obama automatically get them? Frankly, I think that's the most sensible arrangement. Some people have suggested that. Just give Barack Obama all the delegates other than the ones that Hillary Clinton won in the primary. She would net gain maybe 18 delegates compared to Barack Obama from the result in Michigan if that happened. That would not be enough to get her to a majority of the delegates at the National Convention. And if I were Obama, I would accept that kind of a division because he'd still be way ahead of her.
Adam Smith, anybody talking about something similar to that in Florida?
Well, in Florida, she would net about 37 delegates ahead of him, which wouldn't be enough either. One of the ideas that's being talked about, certainly by the Obama, some of the local Obama supporters, is splitting the delegates evenly, that if people are that concerned about giving Florida or Michigan, conceivably, a voice in the nomination, why not just do it 50-50? And then you do away with a lot of the questions. In terms of seating the delegates as allocated in our case, January 29th, the Obama position is under no circumstances will that happen, that it was an invalid election where people didn't campaign, and there's no way they'll allow those to be seated.
Jim, quickly?
Yes. The people that I'm dealing with in my county say, excuse me, whether they chose to campaign or not isn't the issue. We went to the polls. We voted. We're the people of the United States. It's the government of the people, not of the Democratic National Committee.
Thanks very much for the call, Jim. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Bye-bye. We're talking with Adam Smith, political editor for the St. Petersburg Times, and Bill Ballinger, editor and publisher of the newsletter Inside Michigan Politics, about what are the Democrats going to do about Michigan and Florida. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email from Kim. Just wondering if anyone cares about Democratic voters in Florida anymore. I feel I've been ignored and unheard for over 8 years now. I'm tired of going out to vote and then watching the national news later to find out my vote didn't count because of Democratic Party rules in 2008 or was thrown out due to a missing Chad in 2000, followed by 75 exclamation points. I really think the popular voter no longer has a say in our voting system, and in Florida, no popular voter, now even our delegates, has any say in our government. Frustrated in Florida, and I suspect, Adam Smith, she's not alone.
We hear a lot of that, and I tell you, some of the happiest people in Florida are the Republican Party leaders, who almost every day are crowing about Florida Democrats disenfranchising voters and Republicans being the party that tries to count all the votes.
Let's get Erica on the line. Erica with us from Tallahassee.
Hi there.
Hi there.
It's interesting that that comment was just made because the decision that was made to move up the date was by a Republican governor and a Republican legislature, and it's the Democratic Party who is stripping us of our votes, and I don't remember voting for the Democratic Party.
I'm sorry?
And I don't remember voting for the Democratic
Party. Oh, I see.
I see.
It took me a minute to get that. Excuse me, Erica. Thanks very much. People are very upset about this idea of being disenfranchised. By party rules, and there is a case to be made in Florida that the Republican governor and the Republican legislature did this, and the Democratic Party did not have an awful lot of voice in that, Adam Smith.
That's true. It's not necessarily the most valid case to be made, but there's definitely a case to be made. If the Republicans had wanted to roll over the Democrats, they could have forced this early primary down their throats. Absolutely. But the fact is, the Democrats were all for this early on. The Senate bill to move an early primary, move the primary early, was actually sponsored by a Democrat. And then in the end, there was sort of a token effort to try to comply with Howard Dean and the DNC rules, and they made a token effort to delay the to postpone the primary. And as expected, it went down in flames, and the primary was moved to when it was moved. The Democrats in the state, in the legislature, wrongly calculated that they were too important, and ultimately the DNC would not punish a state with 27 electoral votes, and now they're paying the price.
Hmm. Erica, thanks very much. Well, Erica, by the way, what do you think should happen?
I think there should be a redo.
A redo. Okay, thanks very much. And finally, we just have about a minute or so left, but what about the argument that if there is a redo, and you've both said that you think it's unlikely for various reasons in different states, but if there is a redo, effectively, you're rewarding two states for moving their primaries too early by giving them incredibly decisive moments in the Democratic selection process. Adam Smith?
Well, you do hear that, and that in a way that would be the case. On the other hand, if you're a Democrat and you want to win in November, this is an issue that certainly in Florida will be used as a cudgel against the Democrats. And you know, without Michigan and without Florida, you're going to have a hard time getting those electoral votes to win the nomination, to win the election
in the general election come November.
Right.
Bill Ballinger.
Well, I would just say here in Michigan, the big thrust here was to try and embarrass New Hampshire and Iowa by having the delegates seated this summer. And Carl Levin, the Democratic senator from Michigan, who was the main impetus behind changing this law in Michigan, thought that once the delegates are seated, that destroys first-of-the-nation status for Iowa and New Hampshire, and that's what he wanted. And it looks like it's blown up in his face at this point.
Bill Ballinger and Adam Smith, thank you both for your time today. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Ira Flatow's here tomorrow with Science Friday. I'm off on vacation for a week and a half. Robert Smith will be here next week. Have a great time. I'm Neil Conan, National Public Radio News in Washington.